Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Here we are on this weekend of the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Patrick Conley with you again, and it might not be morning when you're listening, because you might be listening on Friday night, Saturday at noon, Friday night at 9, Saturday at noon, or Sunday morning at 9, and those are our new times. I hope that you've been able to find us if you're a regular listener. And friends, this morning I want to start the program with a little memorial for Father William Baer, who I think many of you probably know and have heard that he passed away very unexpectedly and suddenly last weekend. We wanted to honor him here on the Rediscover Hour as he has made such a tremendous impact on the lives of very many people here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. He served most recently as the pastor of Transfiguration Church and School out in Oakdale. And personally, just like to offer a little reflection, my wife used to teach at the school there at Transfiguration, and so often I would join her as I would bring her to work. We'd join her for the very early morning mass with Father Baer and maybe about a dozen brave souls at 6:30 or 6:15, I don't even remember, in the morning. And as many of you know, anybody who has attended a mass where he has presided know that he was a very gifted homilist. He was able to put words and thoughts together in ways that really stuck in the heart. And I've seen many memorials reminding or just saying how much people were touched by his homilies. But he also was, in my experience, a very gentle confessor as well. And I think that even strikes me more, that in the confessional he had just a way about him where he was at times, he was kind of a bear in the world. I mean, he had a great and a big personality, and he was able to interact well with people. We had him speak at the cathedral once for RCIA, and when I was involved with that as a assistant, and he did an amazing job. He was comical. He hit home with so many of the things he was saying. And yet in the confessional, you could really see the person of Jesus Christ shining through him as he offered the graces and the mercies of Jesus himself in the confessional. So a memorial to him is in my own reflections, but I have his obituary notice here in front of me and just a few things from his history. A Baltimore native, graduated from Georgia Tech with a degree in architecture, and following a brief career as an architect, he served as a lay campus minister in Maryland and Michigan. And he discerned his priestly vocation, was ordained for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in 1996. Prior to his role as pastor at Transfiguration, Father Baer was the rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary in St. Paul and served at Nativity of Our Lord Parish in St. Paul. He touched the lives, as I've said, of many through his strong devotion to the sacraments, incredible homilies, and brilliant sense of humor. I also would like to read from a letter that was written by someone who is probably very familiar to those of you who are regular Relevant Radio listeners here in the Archdiocese, Father Michael Becker, who is now the rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary. And he writes that on behalf of the seminary community, he wishes to express my sincere condolences to all those who knew and loved Father William Baer. Father Baer passed away unexpectedly on January 14th. He was a beloved priest and friend to so many at SJV, the Archdiocese, and dioceses across the country. Father Baer, writes Father Becker, was my predecessor at SJV, serving as rector from 1999 to 2010. During his tenure, Father Baer made a significant impact on the seminary as an institution and on countless men discerning a vocation to the priesthood. Enrollment more than doubled under Father Baer's leadership, and in 2006, he celebrated the first Last Chance Mass for 6 students who had not yet attended a weekend Mass. Celebrated at 9 p.m. every Sunday evening during the academic year, Last Chance Mass now draws more than 300 students and neighbors from the surrounding community. In addition, Father Baer coined our prayer and our pledge that all SJV men, lay and ordained, live as men in Christ, men of the Church, and men for others. And Father Becker encourages us all to join him in prayer for the repose of the soul of Father Barron, for his beloved family and friends, his parishioners, and all those whose lives were touched by this happy, holy, faithful man of God. And indeed, we will. We will pray for Father Bear here. But I'd like to also invite another voice onto the into the program here as we honor Father William Bear. Justin Cordham was at the St. Paul Seminary at the time that Father Bear was at SJV, and he knew Father Bear there some, I believe, and then as he discerned out of the seminary, but he continued on to work in the church and has been the director of faith, parish formation and youth at Transfiguration, where Father Bear most recently served as pastor. Welcome to the program, Justin. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Yeah, so I appreciate that you were able to join us on pretty short notice here as we honor Father Bear this morning. Tell us, I'll just ask you straight out, what would you like to say about Father Bear?
Well, Patrick, I'm very honored to be able to speak on behalf of a number of our parishioners and staff members, and to say that although we are still grieving his loss, obviously, we can count many, many ways that we have been touched by his pastoring. I mean, he was a shepherd of souls. Most people will remember his homilies and his pastoral care, but also, you know, here the staff, he was a shepherd of our own souls. He was a mentor for all of us. And I think a lot of people will be remembering that as well, like you mentioned him in the confessional. You know, he was, you know, a bear at the pulpit a lot of times, but he was unequivocal in his love for our faith. He was unequivocal in saying that we should never be ashamed to be Catholics. And I think a lot of people will continue to rally around that and, you know, hold his flag high in a number of ways that we are Catholic and we're proud of it. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he instilled that into our hearts and the people of Transfiguration.
Yes, and I know that you're honoring him there at Transfiguration with the visitation coming up Monday, January 22nd, visitation from 4 to 8 p.m., but you're also holding an all-night vigil from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m., so starting on Monday, January 22nd at 8 p.m. there at Transfiguration. How did the thoughts for that come about?
I think it was a suggestion from the Archdiocese for people to honor him and to be able to hold vigil with his body present and also the presence of the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Father dearly, dearly, dearly loved the Blessed Sacrament, and we had Holy Hour every morning before Mass, and we had a lot of faithful people there, you know, from 7 to 8 a.m. every morning. And I think it's a beautiful way to honor him and also allow people to grieve in the presence of our Lord, in the presence of his body here at Transfiguration. So we will indeed have many, many people all through the night. All are welcome to be here and to venerate his body and also be in the presence of our Lord throughout the evening.
Right. And so Transfiguration, the visitation is at Transfiguration Catholic Church in Oakdale. Visitation from 4 to 8 p.m. and then an all-night vigil starting right on the heels of that at 8 p.m. and carrying on through the night until 7 a.m. And his Mass of Christian Burial is taking place actually not at Transfiguration, as I understand it, because of the amount of people that are expected for his funeral. It's taking place at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Tuesday, January 23rd at 10 o'clock in the morning. And Justin, just from your own perspective as an employee of Father Bear, as one of his sheep, as you said, is there anything? First of all, let me ask: is the sacramental schedule still on track there at Transfiguration?
It is. The Archdiocese has been very gracious in sending out emails and requests to the priests of the diocese, and they have been very gracious in responding. So all sacramental life, you know, as Father Bear would have wanted, all sacramental life will continue as scheduled. So we do have our daily 8 a.m. Masses and our weekend schedule as well.
Okay, very good. And then going back to what I was saying before, just from your own personal interactions with Father Bear, What do you think is going to stick with you most and longest about your knowing him and loving him and having him as a boss, yes, but also as a mentor, as a shepherd?
I think that in a lot of ways to carry on his legacy, that we are shepherds of souls here at Transfiguration and hopefully every church throughout the world, that anyone who walks through these doors or anyone in our neighborhood, we should be shepherding. We should be giving them opportunities to meet Christ, and most especially in our faithful service to the sacraments. You know, Father Bear emphasized over and over, we are always going to be faithful to the Pope, to our bishop, and to the sacraments. We will never waver in any of those things, and we will continue to do that. And personally, you know, he's been a great mentor to me, not only in our personal interactions, when I met him, you know, a long time ago as a member of the Companions of Christ and at the St. Paul Seminary. He was a figure larger than life, mm-hmm. you know, but in his personal interaction, he had dear and tender care for each individual soul and cared for them individually. You know, he was never, ever, ever going to be brushing someone off who requested some prayers for a loved one after Mass. You know, very often you'd see him saying a rosary and blessing rosaries and blessing crucifixes when people brought them in, and saying an Our Father and a Hail Mary for a loved one who's passed or a loved one who's sick. He was dear and tender care for those souls, and also my own personal soul. You know, there are many, many homilies that I've written down, many, many notes, and we'll be going back to those throughout the years to help me become and continue to be a better man, a better father, a better husband, and a better mentor to all the men here at Transfiguration as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he certainly had a heart and a mind and a soul that was dedicated to our Lord, and as you've already said, to the sacraments and how and where we encounter the Lord, to the Church, to Holy Mother Church and the Holy Father, to our bishops and that sort of thing. And his mind was so sharp too. That's one of the things that just strikes me. His mind was sharp because, and you could see that way that came through just in the humor that he would incorporate into his homilies, and when he was giving talks and that sort of thing. Humor that helped his point stay with you, help his point remain with you. Yeah. So, well, Justin, if I could, may I ask you to lead us all in a prayer for the repose of Father Bear's soul, and just for comfort and consolation for those who knew him and loved him, and yeah, and that we all might be, we all might be united in this time of grief. Would you pray for us?
Of course. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask you to be with all those who grieve today. We ask you to be with especially his family and his dear mother. We ask you to be with our community at Transfiguration. And we ask especially that you bring down your mercy upon Father Bear's soul, that you welcome him into your heavenly kingdom, where he will dwell with you forever and ever. We ask especially the intercession of our Blessed Mother, who is always watching out for us, and who I think in many ways taught Father Bear how to have that tender soul and care for other souls. So we pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Justin Cordham, Director of Parish Formation and Youth at Transfiguration. Thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning, Justin.
Thank you very much, Patrick. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, friends, continue to pray for the soul of Father Bear, and do, if you can, make it out. Just the details on the visitation, again, is going to be Monday, January 22nd, from 4 to 8 p.m. there at Transfiguration Catholic Church, and then an all-night vigil from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m., Massive Christian burial at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Tuesday, January 23rd at 10 a.m. There's large crowds expected for that, so please, please do come arrive early and come to pray. Come to pray as Father Bear would want us to pray and partake in the sacraments. Changing gears a little bit too, Father Bear was was always encouraging men to be men in the Lord and to live out their faith. And one of the ways that we see men and women doing that is through athletics. And so we are going to be spending some time this morning on the Rediscover Hour talking about, I keep saying morning. Well, I know that some of you are not listening necessarily in the morning. And some of you are, we are going to be spending time talking about sports. We're going to have Pete Laird, who's a student at the Academy of Holy Angels in Richfield, along with Father Michael Tix, who's the chaplain out there. We're going to be talking with both of them about interaction of sports and faith. We're also going to be talking with the speaker at an upcoming wine event, that's Women in the New Evangelization event. Sonia Corbett is going to join us on the phone right at the end of the show to talk a little bit about that coming event as well. I know that we have prayed already, but I want to once again dedicate the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So if you'll join me once more in prayer, as we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And eternal rest grant unto the soul of Father Bear, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go to our first break, stay with us because we're going to come back with Father Michael Tix and Pete Laird talking about faith and sports. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial is all about life and the richness and joy it brings to the families and communities they serve every single day. And they have been for over 138 years. As a fraternal life insurance company, after expenses are paid and reserves are set aside, Catholic United pays it forward and pours their profits back into the communities they serve as grants, scholarships, and more. Think of them as a financial cooperative with a helpful heart. We're all betting the unexpected won't happen to us, right? Unfortunately, events like serious life-threatening health problems can set you back financially, draining your savings or future retirement income. A Catholic United life insurance policy may be able to offset the cost of this care, care that could cost thousands of dollars per month. Visit CatholicUnitedFinancial.org or call 651-765-6548. Enjoy your life and connect with your local Catholic United rep. Find out how they can help you be ready to face the unexpected, because help is what they do.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again. And I think most of you probably noticed that there's some sporting events going on here in the area. Most of you probably were tuned in, as I was, to the game last week. And yes, even though I am a Packers fan, as regular listeners to the program will know, I'm the type of guy who, you know, once the Packers are out of the playoff, then I do pull for the NFC North team. So I wouldn't consider myself necessarily a full-time Vikings fan. But I would say that it is more than it would be a great pleasure to see them. I want to see them take it all the way, and I'm not the only one who noticed specifically as the miraculous catch, the Hail Mary, as it were, at the end of the game last week, and Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Minneapolis. Maybe some of you have seen this. Took advantage of it in, I think, a very unique way that made quite a bit of waves across the country, actually, using the Vikings logo. They said, if you made any promises during the last 10 seconds, Sunday Masses are at, and then they give their Sunday Mass schedule on their Facebook page. And I think a lot of other parishes have followed suit with that. So it's an interaction of faith and sports, and that's what we want to talk about for this portion of the Rediscover Hour. We want to talk about what exactly, how does faith and sports interact? How can they encourage one another? How can they play off of one another to make us more into the people that we were created to be? Joining me now on the phone is Father Michael Tix, who is the chaplain at the Academy of Holy Angels in Richfield. He's also the Episcopal Vicar of Clergy and Parish Services with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Welcome to the program, Father Tix.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you with us. And
So I
just want to start out by asking right off the bat, how long have you been a chaplain at the Academy of Holy Angels?
This is my 16th school year, which is hard to believe already.
Wow, 16 years. I bet you've seen quite a number of things, and students come and go, and a number of extraordinary things happen there at Holy Angels, yeah?
Yes. It's been very much an honor to be a part of those kids' lives and to see them grow as good and responsible adults who are making a positive difference in our world today.
Right. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you for your good work there. We're grateful for all that you do there to serve the Academy of Holy Angels. So I want to ask, Father, as I was saying, we want to talk a little bit about the interplay between faith and sports and how you, so how do you see it as something that can be mutually beneficial for a young person in their lives?
I think it can be beneficial at a couple of levels. One of the things that we talk about, and I do a lot of work with Holy Angels football program, is that oftentimes sports can be the thing, the common interest that brings us together. But in playing those sports and journeying through a season, it's about something more than sports, because there's really some life lessons to be learned through that sport, whatever it might be. And those life lessons can be discipline, the sense of working together, the sense of using our God-given gifts and abilities and appreciating those God-given gifts and abilities that others might have that we might not enjoy, but how using those together we can make a difference.
Right. And what about the whole spirit of competition too, Father? I know sometimes competition can get blown way up and actually do some pretty damaging things one to another when the goal is to win and to win alone, right? But there are some good things about competition as well, aren't there?
I think that there is. I think that, you know, one of the great lessons that it allows us is that, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, we see that we live in a competitive world in a lot of different ways. But that we can live in a competitive world, another one of those life lessons, we can live in that competitive world in a respectful way, and to be able to bring that to play, you know, in the thick of a game, how do we carry ourselves? The discipline of the sports can allow us that this is what we do, this is what we are, that we're always respectful. Call may not go our way, but how do we act in a respectful manner that allows us to be able to do what's in our power to do? Some things are out of our control, but how do we work together in spite of that all in a respectful manner? And that respectful manner makes a statement to others about our core faith and beliefs.
Right, right. We can show forth that our faith is playing a role in how we choose to respond in these various competitive situations.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, Father, do you have any, I'm just curious, do you have any kind of pregame traditions or prayers as you've worked with the football team or maybe other teams there at Holy Angels?
You know, we do, especially since Jim Gunderson took over as coach of the football team. One of the regular things that we've done is that we will gather after school and before every game for a pregame mass. And it's the football team that gathers. We've had others who have joined us along the way. It's always open to others, but primarily the football team, in a way that focuses their time and attention, remembering that, you know, their gathering there is another kind of communion, nourished by the sacramental communion that we receive, bread and wine that become the body and blood of Christ for us, that be able to nourish us in life's journey. So we gather, first of all, in that spirit of that prayer that's so important to us as Catholics, that nourishes us on our journey, whether that's in sports or in life itself. And in the course of that Mass, you know, we'll open up the Scriptures, break that open about what does it mean beyond football? What are the life lessons that can be taken away from it? There's always a pre-game prayer outside of Mass. We gather typically in the locker room, and I'll lead the team in a pre-game prayer. And then especially for our home games, the school's history is that it was founded by the Sisters of St. Joseph, and in the courtyard there's a statue of St. Joseph to be able to honor their tradition and that history. And after games, we invite everyone in the stadium that's there. Kids are there, the players are there, parents are there to be able to gather for our prayer to St. Joseph and some closing comments, if you will, from Coach Gunderson.
Wow, so it sounds like it's really the competition is just enveloped in practices of faith.
It is. And the other part of that, you know, not necessarily tied to game day per se, but, you know, the practices generally start with a prayer that the captains will lead. There's that part of it that I'm not a daily part of, but the captains take on that leadership role. To say nothing of the fact of that throughout the school, this is something implemented some years ago as a faith in action program, where the different teams take on some kind of form of service to be able to remember that they got to give back, that they have to be able to serve. And serving just isn't on their necessarily competitive team, football, hockey, whatever it is, but that, you know, we need to be able to give back, and a part of that teamwork is a sense of service to others. It's not all about us. In a world that can be focused on ourselves and our wants and needs, we're called to go out. That's a whole nother sense of that faith and action and those lifelong lessons that are to be learned in our sports and activities.
Mm, yeah, very good. Well, Father, stay on the line. I would like to invite into the conversation right now one of your players. Pete Lehrer is with us. He's a senior at Academy of Holy Angels. He's also a member and leader in the Pro-Life AHA Respect Life Club. He's mentored underclassmen. He has been a Nativity Catholic Kids camp counselor. He's volunteered for Project Home. He's been an altar server. I just have quite a list here. He's very involved, as well as being academic all-state football. So, Pete, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. And first, let's get some stats here. Okay, so what position do you play?
I play wide receiver on offense and safety on defense, as well as kick returner for special teams.
Wow, you're playing three ways, not just both ways. You're playing all three ways then.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. So I want to know, do they triple your salary then?
Not quite.
Not yet. Yeah, that's maybe farther on down the road, right? Then what's your favorite one to do? You know, like offense, defense, or special teams?
I like playing offense because it's just really fun when you get the ball, go downfield, you know, score a touchdown with your team. And it's just really fun when you get the ball to truly see how your teammates can help you out to move down the field.
Excellent, excellent. Do you happen to know your total yards this season?
I have no idea.
Okay. just curious. All right. And actually, as long as we're on the topic anyway, any aspirations to play beyond Holy Angels, somewhere in college or something like that?
I'm thinking about playing at St. Thomas or St. John's, but haven't decided quite yet.
Ooh, so Tommy's and Johnny's. All right, so you can get your hooks into Pete Laird. I know you can't see him, but he's a fit young man, and I'm sure he would be a credit to the team. But not just because of his athletic ability. Pete, you're involved in a bunch of stuff here that are really, you can see that our Lord and our faith is at the core of this. Did you grow up Catholic, baptized at a young age, get all your sacraments, that sort of thing as well?
Yeah, I did. My family is very strong in the faith, and that's what we try to live out on a daily basis. We serve a lot. We pray before every meal, and I just, you know, give it to my parents and my grandparents to set a great example for me.
Wow. All right. Well, that, and it clearly shows from everything that you do here. So, Father Tix, I am assuming you know Pete.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And what would you say? Is he a solid man of faith?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind about that.
That's excellent. Well, it's good to hear. So, any special moments, Pete, in your athletic career at Holy Angels?
Definitely this year, winning the state tournament was really special for me as well as the team. But my brother's a year older than me, and so playing with him through football and hockey has just been really touching to my life to have that close companionship, not only with your teammates, but having a brother there as well.
So you play hockey at Holy Angels as well?
Yes, I play hockey and baseball as well.
That's great. You know, okay, this is just personal commentary here now, but I admire that. I think it's tragic the way we tend to push young people these days into just being one sport athletes. I think there's a lot of good that can be done in a number of sports. All right, so quickly, you play what position in hockey?
I'm a defenseman.
Oh, excellent. And how about baseball?
Center field.
Center field. Oh, gee, you must be fast then, too. I always got stuck in the infield. I can't imagine why. Well, if you know me, you know why. I'm not a fast man at all. Father Tix, would you say that there are many representatives like Pete from all the athletic programs there at Holy Angels?
I really think that there are. There's just lots of good examples that really are, in many ways, inspirational, just to see the way that they've been able to have strong academics. Pete's an example of that. Strong academics, highly involved in things, committed to service, living out their faith and that faith as a foundation that's really helping to build and support all of those things to make a positive difference in our world.
Very good. Excellent. Well, hats off to the whole program there. Pete, back to you. How would you say that your faith has influenced your athletic careers? I'll use the plural there. Your athletic careers throughout your time at Holy Angels.
Well, with my faith, I'm always believing in something bigger, God and Jesus, and that really attains to football. It's not just about yourself. It's about your team and your coaches, and you have to trust and believe in everybody that they're going to do their job when they need to do it. And so it's really helped me with the faith of that we're being a team and that it's not just about you.
Okay. And so let me turn the question around now and ask you, well, what about your athletic career? How has that helped you grow and develop as a person and maybe specifically as a faithful Catholic?
Sports, especially football, have really taught me that it's about the daily things you do. Not just showing up, you know, when you need to show up. You can't just show up on Friday night and play the game. You can't just show up on Sunday and go to Mass. You have to work at it, spend time every day. You have to pray every day. You have to reflect on what you did right, what you did wrong. And it's not just a one-time thing. You have to work to be better in sports, in faith, and in your daily life.
Father Tix, I think you and this young man's parents have done a pretty good job here.
he's a pretty good kid.
Very good, very good. Pete, any coaches at Holy Angels who've done things for their teams that benefit all of your spiritual lives?
Every coach that we have, we pray before every game, but especially Coach Jim Gunderson, who got Coach of the Year this year, we pray, as he said, before every practice, before every game, after every game. It just really ties in what you strongly believe into what you are presently doing.
Oh, very good. And then, you know what, being a student these days is quite, I would say that's even more, there's more things going on than when I was a high school student. So I'm just curious, how do you balance? How do you do school, you do family life, you do all these volunteer things that you do, you pray every day, you invest yourself in your faith, and then you do friendships, and then you do sports on top of all that. How do you balance?
Football and other sports really teaches you time management and how to be efficient. And since you have football and every other sport 2 hours after school every day, you get home later around like 6, and then you have your family dinner. And so it really teaches you to be efficient with your time and to manage your time to take on a greater responsibility than just yourself.
Hmm. Very good. Wow. I'm learning lots here, folks. Are you? Now, Father Tix, I'm going to have to get this young man's opinion about you. I asked you about him. So, Pete, Father Tix, yeah? What has he done? What role has he played as team chaplain for both you as an individual and also as the team?
He's always there on the sidelines cheering you on. As soon as you come off the field, he's there to encourage you. He's there before saying Mass. He's there after saying the prayer. He's sacrificing a lot of his time for all of us and just encouraging all of us to do the best we can, not only spiritually through our faith, but also physically through our performances and our friendships. And he's just a great supporter and mentor to all the players.
Wonderful. So, Father, back to you for a moment. As in 16 years, I would imagine, as I said at the top of the interview, you must have seen a number of students go through the programs to come through Holy Angels and to see them develop along the way. What advice would you give to parents, maybe specifically about how to live a good or to how to have a good high school career?
I think a good high school career, you know, of course, I'm always going to be an advocate for Catholic schools.
Right.
Because there's a just a different environment that allows kids to be able to grow and to be able to flourish. But I think that, you know, any student in high school is to be able to, amidst the busyness of their lives, and that's amazing to see and how that's changed over time. With given the amount of activities, given the amount of studies, there's just lots of things that are thrown at kids these days. But to be able to, in the middle of all of those things, really to be able to have a grounding. And that grounding is about faith and participation in the life of the church, the sacraments of the church. That needs to be an important piece, too, to be able to stay grounded in moving forward.
Wow, yeah. How about you, Pete? What advice would you give to maybe some parents are listening right now that are they have children that are just about to enter high school? What advice would you give to them and maybe to the students themselves about what it takes to have a good high school career?
Well, you have to, I would encourage you to play a sport right away. You'd meet new people, make some friends, and then after that, you have to focus on your studies so you can set yourself up good for the future. And just be kind to everyone and always smile when you pass them in the hallway or say hi, because it's all about building relationships and becoming a better person through the process.
Mm, amen to that. Pete, best part about being a student athlete?
Definitely, you know, playing the game and turning and seeing all your friends and teachers all watching you and supporting you to do the best you can.
What would be something that was challenging about being a student athlete?
Definitely managing the homework. I'm taking 4 AP classes.
Oh, man.
So it's a lot of homework to get on top of playing sports.
I'll bet, yeah, that's right. Just out of curiosity, what are some of those AP classes that you're taking?
AP Calculus, AP Physics, AP Lit, and so that's the bulk of them.
That's in. Is that all? Yeah, calculus, literature, physics. You don't. I mean, and you're having trouble managing your time. Holy cow! Wow. So academics, sports, and relationships. All these things going on. Father Tix, back to you as we're our time is running a little bit short here. But just wanted to ask you if there's any particular way that we can pray for the Academy of Holy Angels, but maybe specifically for student athletes there and everywhere.
I think that, you know, sometimes just taking the moment and thinking about the kids on the field at those games, you know, maybe in attending a game, just being able to offer just a simple kind of prayer. You know, oftentimes when the kids are together for practice, it's beginning with an Our Father or a Hail Mary, and maybe using those prayers that we've known from little on, just to be able to pray for them that they can continue to grow to their fullest potential, using their God-given gifts and talents in a kind of way that gives glory to God.
Amen. Pete, how about you? Any specific prayers that we can, or any specific ways we can pray and support other student athletes throughout the area?
I just, you know, do a simple prayer like the Hail Mary, Our Father, like you said, or just a silent prayer that comes straight from the heart, but something that you know is genuine, that you truly believe in.
Wow, wonderful. Father, just as before we go, could I ask you to give us all your blessing?
Sure. I'd be happy to. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Pete Laird, student athlete at Holy Angels, as well as Father Michael Tix, chaplain out there. Thank you both for being on the Rediscover Hour today.
Have a good weekend. Skol Vikings.
I don't know. I don't know that we can actually say that. Pete here is a fellow Packers fan, folks. I left that for the end of the interview. All right. So as we take our next break, we are going to come back now and talk with Sonia Corbett, who is a speaker at the upcoming Women in the New Evangelization Conference. So stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Discover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer. Paul Sadek is here as our technical producer as well, and we are again at the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM. As always, grateful for their giving of their space for us to record the Rediscover Hour, as well as our new sponsor here for this year of programming here on the Rediscover Hour, Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. And it is good to imagine specifically that. That's a great slogan for this weekend of life. And as we are honoring and praying for those who are the most vulnerable, particularly the unborn. And I'm just curious, in the midst of that, I'm wondering if you, our listeners, if you have a special, if you've entered into any special prayer traditions when it comes to life and protecting life. Are you part of the novena that is being offered through the USCCB program? The USCCB, they're offering a novena for us to pray together in respect for life. Are you doing anything specifically for the March for Life? If you're not headed to Washington, D.C. for the National March for Life, I want to make you aware that we do have a prayer service for life, as well as a march for life that are going on Monday, January 22nd, here in the area, in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And there's so many things that we need and can do. The prayer service for life, just in case you were wondering, is at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Monday, January 22nd, beginning at 10:30 a.m., led by our Archbishop, Archbishop Hebda. And after that, we're going to walk up to the Capitol building for the MCCL, Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life, March for Life, there at the Capitol building. That's Monday, January 22nd. Joining me now here on the Rediscover Hour is Sonia Corbett, who is she's the speaker at the 4th Annual Archdiocesan Wine Catholic Women's Conference. Her book, Unleashed, is a wine-recommended book and used in Read Between the Wines. Yeah. Read Between the Wines. Yeah, I got that right. Book clubs nationwide. And she's a Catholic scripture teacher with a storyteller's gift, a warrior's heart, and a poet's pen. Wow. I am very intrigued. Sonia, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us. Where are you calling in from? I don't even know.
I'm from Tennessee.
Tennessee.
You'll be able
wonderful.
To tell in just a moment. If you haven't already.
Yes, right. Well, I did notice a bit of an accent there, but that's a Tennessean accent, is it?
It is. I'm from Tennessee.
Very nice. Born and raised?
No, actually. I was born in California, and we moved a lot. My dad was in the service, so
okay.
Our sort of home base ended up being in the Carolinas, but I was born in California, so.
Very good. And have you been to Minnesota before, been to our fair state?
I have, actually, several times. And I'll be honest, with the conference being this early in the year, I'm terrified I'm going to freeze to death.
Well, you know what? Right now, anyway, we're on the thaw. I would not say it's the spring thaw, but we are on the thaw anyway. We're topping temperatures that are even a bit above freezing, if you can believe that.
Oh, yeah. The last time I was there, people tried to get me to go out on the ice.
Oh,
in a car.
Yeah, right.
said, no way.
Did that seem strange to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I asked him, I said, well, does anybody die that way? And they said, oh, you know, one or two
years. Yeah, just a couple every year. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny how some of the things that we seem that seem pretty normal to us, when you look at it through the eyes of an outsider, maybe not so normal, yeah?
Yeah, well, us too. We eat kudzu, so.
Oh, did you say you eat it?
Yeah, some people do.
You do not.
Yes.
Oh.
I know, it's weird.
Wow. Well, it's pretty invasive, as I understand, so it's probably a good thing to take care of it some way anyway.
Yeah.
So, Sonia, how did you get connected with Women in the New Evangelization with wine in the first place?
Well, I actually spoke with Kelly once in another women's event, and I believe it was at that point that she had just, with another friend, come up with the name for the ministry. And I remember being struck by how clever it was and timely. And so I've known Kelly somewhat for quite a long time, actually, several years. And then I believe she, as you mentioned earlier in the introduction, she chose my first book, Unleashed, as a wine book. So I was able to sort of be affiliated that way, too. So just sort of hit and miss here and there. And, of course, I love the ministry, and I follow what's going on. I think that we women we're trying to put our shoulders to the cart, you know, to try to move it forward in the ways that we're able to and that we're called to. And I love that Kelly is spearheading that effort.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And now you're coming to town for this wine conference, the Catholic Women's Conference. It's coming up Saturday, February 10th, and it's going to be at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. And the theme is Hope, an Anchor for the Soul, and it's inspired by St. Philomena's example and Pope Francis' invitation to fight against enemies of hope, like discouragement and negativity. So tell us a little bit about the focus of your presentation there at the conference. Can you give us a little teaser?
I sure can. I am speaking on hope, but I am speaking on hope in relation to the Scriptures, because the Bible says that we can only have hope through the Word, through Himself. And that's really why the church says that it is an evangelical council. It's impossible to have hope in our days and times, in any days and times, without divine help. And so we need to know how to get that help. And the Scriptures are a daily way to plug into the hope that God implants in us through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at, I have coined a little method. It's Lectio without the Latin, but it's based on Mary's own practice, and it's called Love the Word. And so L is listen, O is observe, V is verbalize, and E is entrust. And so we use the Scriptures on a daily basis, the readings that the church gives us, and we tap into the Holy Spirit's voice to the whole church and to us individually on a daily basis using that method. Mary teaches us how to do it. And so that's what my talk will be about.
Wow. Well, I'm intrigued. Unfortunately, I'm not a woman, so I guess I won't be attending, but I'm intrigued, and I think it'd be something very worthwhile coming to see. Are you taking part in the other elements of the conference as well? I hear there's going to be adoration, confession, prayer teams.
Absolutely. Yes.
And the local,
try not to miss that.
Local vendors as well. I've heard their relevant radio advertisements, and they're talking about shopping at this conference as well.
Well, if you get a bunch of women and wine together, you're going to have shopping.
I suppose that's right. And, of course, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with Archbishop Hebda at 4 o'clock. So, if women are interested in coming, that's, again, the Wine Catholic Women's Conference, Saturday, February 10th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. If you're interested, go to catholicvineyard.com, and we'll hit this again in our events calendar at the end of the show here, but catholicvineyard.com. And I have some good news for Rediscover Our listeners. The early bird special ended on January 10th, but due to a generous donor, the first 50 people to register today will get the early bird special. And even if you're listening to a rerun of the show on Saturday or Sunday, there still very well may be a chance to get that special. So a little added incentive and more money for that shopping that's going on. Right.
Amen. I just want to personally invite the ladies out. I can't wait to meet everybody up there in Minnesota.
Right. Very good. And how long are you going to be in town, Sonia?
I'll be there for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and a little bit of Sunday.
Okay, very good. Wow. Well, we look forward to keeping you in town. And you know what? I think it's supposed to be, I think it's still supposed to be warm through this weekend, but, well, warm for us, but then it's going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's relative.
Yeah, exactly. I think there might be some of the dreaded S word coming in on Sunday. So hopefully your flight isn't too late in the day. But yeah, we look forward to it.
That would be good. I like snow too.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Any special ways we can pray for you as you're coming into town for February 10th?
I would love that. I would especially love a prayer to the Holy Spirit that He would prepare our hearts to receive Him more fully through Our Lady and her practice of love the Word.
Wonderful. Sonia Corbett, we will pray for you. Please pray for us, and thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
You bet. Thank you so much.
Take care. So, as we go into our final break, we want to encourage the ladies to sign up for the wine conference. We'll have more info of that and many other things in the events calendar coming up right after this. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial, based right here in the Twin Cities, has been part of helping this Catholic community for nearly 140 years. I'm John Ginther of Catholic United Financial. Catholic United Financial provides members with quality life insurance and retirement saving options, while giving them opportunities to impact their Catholic parishes, schools, and community. Catholic United is not for profit. We transform profits into purpose. As a fraternal insurance company, Catholic United provides our members with excellent insurance and financial products, and we return our profits to our Catholic communities in the forms of grants, scholarships, and assistance. Let me help you personally with a life insurance or retirement product. You're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of our Catholic community. Give me a call, John Ginther, at 612-644-0563. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life. It's the wayward child comes home. It's in the desert of temptation. Life's the storm of true conversion.
Where springs are living water down. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We are back, and Paul Sadek is my companion here, always here, but now he's on the mic.
Yeah, I've been hiding for the last hour.
Indeed. Well, Paul, why don't you kick us off with our quick look at events in the Archdiocese, brought to you by the family-owned Quickstrip stores here in the Twin Cities area.
Well, the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to join Archbishop Hebda for the annual prayer service for life. It's Monday, January 22nd, 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Right after the prayer service, we'll walk to the state capitol for the MCCL March for Life rally. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or call the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488.
And here's something for the men. Men, don't miss the Catholic Watchman rally on Saturday, January 23rd. From 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata, all men are welcome to come together for prayer, confession, dinner, and a talk by Bishop Cousins on Christ the Man, why God the Father begot a Son, and what that means for all sons of the Father.
Grandparents, you're invited to the Your Life, Your Legacy Grandparents Seminar. It'll be Sunday, January 28th, St. Joseph Catholic Church in Rosemount, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. We all want to leave a legacy, and legacy writing is a perfect way to start planning your estate in a faith-filled way. Bill Marcella, Director of Partner Relations at Catholic Community Foundation and Certified Legacy Facilitator, will be speaking on the topic. Find out more, visit CatholicGrandparenting.org or visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
The Church of St. Patrick in Invergrove Heights invites you to their parish mission, Surge of the Heart, with EWTN personality and author John Leonetti. John will present from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday, February 5th, speaking on Who is God and Why Love Him. He will speak Tuesday, February 6th, on God's Dream for Your Life, and Wednesday, February 7th, on Living God's Dream. Hospitality begins at 5:30 p.m. each evening, with babysitting and children's activities available each night. Visit churchofstpatrick.com for more information.
And Wine, Women in the New Evangelization invites women of all ages and stages to the Wine Catholic Women's Conference, Saturday, February 10th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. The theme, Hope, an Anchor for the Soul, is inspired by St. Philomena's example and Pope Francis' invitation to fight against enemies of hope, like discouragement and negativity, in order to shine as beacons of hope to those we encounter. The day includes inspirational talks, music, lunch, prayer, shopping, confession, chocolate, and more.
Chocolate.
Yeah, well. Excellent. I like chocolate, but for a lot of women, it's a passion.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The conference is a perfect way to prepare for Lent, which begins the week after the conference. Registration, $65. For more information and to register, visit CatholicVineyard.com. Select the events tab. And what's up next week?
Yeah, next week, we are going to talk about the permanent diaconate. We'll hear from Archbishop Hebda as well as Deacon Mahalik, the Director of Diaconate Formation at the St. Paul Seminary. Deacon Mahalik will be joined by one of our newly ordained deacons here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, who's going to share about his experience in the formation program and what it was like to be ordained just this past December and what his life is like now as a new deacon. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.